for my thoughts today is science and the Bible. Bob Ingersoll, who was, the watch is named after him, by the way, the Ingersoll watch. He traveled the country everywhere stating and lecturing on the fact that the mistakes of Moses, he said. He figured that Moses was just a brilliant Egyptian, but was wrong. Even Christians sometimes are wont to say, well, the Bible may be wrong because it's not a book of science. But I would disagree. The Bible is a book of science. In fact, it plainly deals with scientific science. In fact, the only absolutely scientific book and textbook on science is the Bible. And if you want to argue with that, we're going to look at it today and see if it's not true. All other books on science are outdated in 10 years. Ask any public school science teacher. Fact is, now they actually say all knowledge is doubled in about every 3 years. Used to be 5 years. Now they say it's 3 years. And almost now, sometimes the textbooks can't even wait 3 years. They got to do it every year or two. Yet century after century, what the Bible says about science never changes. And there's a number of things that people don't know about in the Bible. And I didn't have time to deal with two others that are never changed. I'll just mention them before I get through. But here's the first one. I asked Dr. Ted to read Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 and 14. And it's the first text on science that has never changed.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and we have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that make atonement for the soul. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, you shall eat the blood in no manner of flesh, for the life is in all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off.
In other words, all life, a life of the flesh of animal, man, everything is in the blood. So you're not to eat of the blood. We all know now, sick people drink blood. So the Bible said that 3,500 years ago. Yet science just discovered that in modern times. And I'll prove that to you very easily in the last 100 years. It's the blood that, but just to explain the processes. It's the blood that absorbs oxygen from the air into the lungs, carries the oxygen throughout the body. It collects the carbon dioxide and other waste, discharges them into the lungs, and then breathes them out through the body. It collects and digests food, takes it from the little cilia in the intestines and distributes it to the various parts of the body. It causes growth, builds new cells, grows bone, stores fat, and makes new hair and nails. It's the blood that feeds and supports every organ in the body. And it's the blood that feeds everything. It's the blood that fights disease. It's the first thing that we draw when we study people that come into the office. First thing that the doctor was, take your blood, study your blood, can actually determine whether the possibility of cancer or any other kind of disease from the blood. So certainly the Bible is absolutely correct in this statement. And keep in mind, that when it was said, the science of the day was completely opposite of that view. They didn't know it, and they did the very opposite. For example, here's the most alarming example of it. In 1799, so virtually say 1800, that's how recent, 1800, 1799, George Washington died, father of our country. The greatest man in America, maybe one of the greatest people in all of your world history. And when he was feeling ill, he had a doctor called to his bedside. The doctor bled Washington 3 times. They call that in those days bloodletting. The last time he drew a quart of blood. Now the doctor, the scientist of his day, had not discovered what the Bible had been saying for 3,000 years plus. He didn't know that he was draining away the life of the very father of his nation that he was trying to save. He drained his blood into the very bucket while he was treating George Washington, draining the blood from his veins. He foolishly thought that most diseases, most illnesses were caused, as they thought in that day, it was because you had too much blood. So they had to, they call it bloodletting. Drain some blood out and you'll get better. Practically all of the scientists of that day believed that. And think of it, William Harvey had discovered the arteries in the human body. And up to the time that he took a close look at that, they felt that the arteries contained air instead of blood. And that was in 1628 that when they first understood that blood circulated, but had not yet truly proven it. Practically nothing was known of the life-sustaining work of the blood until modern times. Lister was the first to prove the presence of germs, and he introduced the antiseptic system of modern surgery. You know how modern that was? Lister lived until he was died in 1912. That's how late that they discovered germs in modern science and surgery. So the theories of scientists may well be out of date in 10 years, but there, my friend, stands the word of God forever. Nobody has ever proven that statement in Leviticus 17 out of date. And notice God in verse 14 told them that don't eat the blood. He was virtually telling them, if they cut it open, they could see it would be in the arteries, if they had any sense at all. So that is really the sad state of affairs. But that's just the thing of the time. And then the second thing is, probably one of the most common things, think how late it was that people believed that the earth was flat. A bold man by the name of Galileo, about 1600 AD, began to believe that the world was round. He felt that perhaps it was a planet revolving around the sun. But the scientific thinkers of his day said he was nuts, and they sucked the Roman Catholic Church on him, and they made him, demanded that he recant, and if he didn't, they were going to put him to death. So Galileo had to quit his scientific experiments, recant of his quote, sin, and lay it aside. And then Copernicus, he was the one who moved on with the whole idea of Galileo and come up with the idea that there was the earth was round. He followed on with Galileo and others. But Columbus, somehow, did I assign Isaiah 40:22? Did you have Isaiah 40:22? Yeah, if you have Isaiah 40:22, the Bible clearly taught that the earth was round 2,700 years before man ever even thought of it. Isaiah 40:22, listen to this.
Is he who sits upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants are like grasshoppers, stretch out the heavens like a curtain, and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in.
Now catch that. He who sits upon the circle of the earth. Isaiah 40. God right there. And that, if you ever read the book, did you read the book Light and Glory by Columbus?
I read some parts.
Okay. He was his great grandson. He wrote that book back in about 70-something, called The Light and the Glory, along with his son. He was the chaplain of the Senate's son, wrote with him, and he interpreted with the chaplain's son of the Senate in this book from, I think it was, Portuguese, I'm not, either Spanish or Portuguese, whatever it was, into English, the actual statements of Columbus, his journal. And he quotes Isaiah 40. This was what prompted him to go to India.
King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Spain.
Yes.
Isaiah 22:14, thick clouds cover him so that he cannot see. He walks above the circle of the heavens.
Now that's in Job 26. Now, mind you, Job is the oldest book in the Bible, not Genesis.
Correct.
So that Job says he walks above the circle of the earth. So here again, it's all over the Bible. It's not like God hides it. He says that he walks above the circle. He's in on the circle. That's all over the Bible. And yet mankind down here, as dumb as we are, we believe that the earth was flat. And Columbus, his men almost executed him when he kept on sailing. And he kept on only for one reason. He believed Isaiah 40:22. He stood on the word of God.
Amen.
That's what made him go. It impelled him. Because he believed the world was round and not flat, that he wouldn't sail off with his own soldiers. And sailors believed that he was going too far and they were going to sail off the ends of the earth. So he kept, even with their threats, God sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. And that word in the Hebrew, in the technical sense, is the Hebrew is the roundness or sphericity of the earth. While men lived in fear of sailing off the end of the earth, God's word gave them assurance that those who read and believe the earth was round was standing on the word of God. Ecclesiastes 1:6.
Wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course.
Notice, wind blows, ever turning around. In other words, it has a circuit. It has a circuit. That's it. Job 26:10, Pastor. Job 26:10, you're in the book of Job. The Hebrew word is koag, actually.
He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness.
He drew a circular horizon. And then finally, not only does the Bible teach the earth is round, God taught that, Now, mind you, 2,500 years before man even thought of it. Now, he also taught the rotation of the earth. It was very difficult. It's kind of a difficult one to grasp here. Jesus Christ taught it. Who did I give Luke 17 to? Okay, Catherine, if you'll read Luke 17, 34 through 36.
I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the other one left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left.
Notice some interesting things here. I had a hard time struggling with this. It took me a long time to get this thing figured out. He's sitting there thinking the same thing. Jesus is the master scientist when it comes to creating the world and all else what connected with it. And when he comments on something, he'll be absolutely correct. Notice Jesus discussing the time of his coming makes an astounding statement. So it's really, at first, it's kind of confusing. He says, two women are going to be grinding in the field in the day, and two men are going to be in bed. Well, what's the big deal? Jesus comes, one is caught up from bed, and the other is caught up field. But the trouble is, men aren't in bed when women are grinding in the field, right? This doesn't work that way.
Some countries, yeah.
No, I mean, it just, men don't lay around in bed when in their field. They draw the water on their heads, other things they do. Children, the house responsibilities, the fields are the men's responsibility over in the Middle East. So what he's saying is when he comes, part of the earth is going to be at night, and another part's going to be in the daytime. Part of it is going to be caught up. One's going to be caught up there. One's going to be caught up dark in the night. This one's going to be caught up. This one's going to be caught up. One's from the bed, one's from the field. It means that there's a rotation of the earth. I mean, I had a hard time, believe me. I had a hard time coming to that. Why did he say it that way? Because he knew the earth is round and revolves. And it's going to be dark over here, light over here. Women will be grinding at one place. Men will be asleep over here. You get me? And when Jesus comes, they're caught up. Made sense to me, but it took to me, because at first I'm thinking, why would Jesus catch up a guy? Why wouldn't he catch up a woman out of her bed and a man out of his bed? I mean, it took me, I'm telling you, some time to figure that whole thing out. But I realized that he knew the earth was round and the earth revolves continuously. Jesus came and made this statement in the light of scientific facts. He knew that it was dark over here and light over here. He knew that what he was saying, that one side of the world it was dark and one side of the world it was light, and he just used women grinding here and men sleeping here. That's all. He could have switched it the other way. Women sleeping over here, men grinding over, working in the field over here. He could have done it either way he wanted, just chose that way. So the Bible describes the earth is round, but here's the last amazing, most amazing at all, because nobody would have believed this until space traveled. You still in Job? Job 26:7. This one is, nobody would believe. It's hard to believe even now, but we know it's true. Listen to this.
He stretches out the north over the empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing.
He hangs the earth on nothing. They didn't believe that. How could they ever conceive that? You know what they believed in India? That a big turtle carried it on its back. And the Greeks was Atlas. They got that picture of Atlas. Where did Atlas come from? He carried the world on his shoulders. That's where that came from. Yeah. No civilization could ever conceive this huge world out here hanging on nothing. God said so. And Psalm 19:6.
His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And they're talking about the sun.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sun, right?
His circuit. It's going forth. Making a circuit. Knows everything. Knows where we are, what we do, everything. The earth revolved around the axis. What is the axis? Well, we're told in Colossians, Jesus Christ, by him, all things consist. And that word consist in the Greek means held together, cohesion. He is the principle of cohesion in the universe. If you ever wonder why the stars stay, 500 years ago, they could sail by the same stars as they did last night, is because he holds the whole world in his hands. Whole world in his hands. He's the principle of cohesion in the universe. The reason this Bible is so accurate is because of this one statement, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given, notice, given by inspiration, theopneustia, Greek theopneustia, God breathed. All scripture is God breathed. It's the breath of God given to us in writing. And that's why it's accurate.
That's why I believe.
That's why you believe. That's why we all believe that know the Word and know him who is the living Word, Jesus Christ, whose blood paid the penalty for all of our sin, died on a cross, loving us even while we're reprobates. I was. I don't know about you, but I know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he paid that sin debt and now offers everyone the free gift of salvation through faith in his son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And thank God, it's free.
Praise God. Praise
it's free. It's free. Thank God it's free. Thank God it's free. Let's pray.